gloves and swallowed lies. Her heart is made of red balloons, chewing gum, and trips to the zoo. And I grew from a sandwich called BB and Dane. I flew a stool with my name on it. They say you got to be young, know to be grown one day. My pride burns in my mother's eyes, rests in baseball games. Trips to the zoo. That thing from a sandwich called BB and Dan. I knew a stool with my name on it. They say you got to be young, known me wrong one day. My pride burns in my mother's eyes. That's in baseball gloves and swallowed pies. My heart is
texture like sun, lays me down with my mind. She runs throughout the night, no need to fight, never a frown with golden brown.
KURS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3. You are listening to Creative Mindset with Robert Sevilla. In the studio, we have a guest for the second time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And introduce yourself.
This is Kristen Guskey, and I'm a certified yoga therapist.
And in the last time I had you in, and I was like Mr. Curiosity, asking all the questions. This time I'm going to let you kind of lead where we're going with this. I know you have an event coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a weekend? Is it a workshop? Or
I always have events coming up. So I'm always putting on workshops, and then I teach teachers. So I've always got something going with them. But I have a retreat coming up in October on the 26th. It's just a day retreat. But that one's focused in on my specialty as a chronic pain specialist. So the best way to talk about it, even though it sounds like a whole bunch of Sanskrit, is focusing in on the Panchamaya Kosha model and the Panchaprana model of treating. So it's very holistic, obviously, as a yoga therapist would treat.
Yeah. So are you saying dealing with pain through the position of your mind, like how to think of it?
Yeah.
How would that, so when I think of
like?
Yoga, yeah, helping with pain, one, I would think of stretching out, preventive maintenance, mm-hmm, or almost something like, and I know this is not what you do, but like a physical therapy, there, yes, might be something like, hey, this move is good for strengthening or
right,
loosening. But when it's coming from you, Kristen, I would think it'd be more toward how to prepare your mind, body for the pain. Am I right?
Close.
Dang it.
It's okay.
I do like to try.
So last time we were together, I was talking a bit about the model of like who we are, mm-hmm, and using a car. There's lots of biomechanics and physiology, so your physical body. But that also says there's only mechanical damage, and pain is emotional, mental, and physical.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't just say, well, we can only treat if there's physical damage, and there has to be physical damage. And then we already know through pain neuroscience that that oftentimes the physical, whatever is happening there, can kind of heal itself, and it takes about 6 weeks, you know, at max. And then, you know, maybe a little longer if there's something else involved. But then after that point, it's getting into your mind. And I don't like to say any of that is like, oh, it's all in your mind, but our bodies have a way of remembering everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we went deep into, you know, the body keeps the score, you know, what's PTSD about? Your body is remembering something for you, even if you've forgotten about it in your head. So the pain treatment model is something about the wholeness of you has been forgotten. The way that I can, because I like to use metaphors because we can understand them better, is the smoke alarm in your house, your amygdala, mm-hmm, is there to sense smoke. but sometimes it's extra sensitive and it senses, in my case, I had an influx of midges in my house and it was going off every 45 minutes whenever there was a ton of these tiny little bugs all over the sensor. So there was no physical damage. There was no fire, but the alarm was so sensitive that it kept going off. So that can happen in pain. That can happen with trauma. You know, like, you know, we come across something and then every time we step back into that situation, you know, like a fear of heights, mm-hmm. immediately your body is in some sort of pain. And so yoga therapy treats that with, let's go inside and see how it got so sensitive in the first place.
And how does that happen?
That's basically the question. How did we get here? Not what's the symptom or how do we fix it, but how did we get here? So sometimes it's really straightforward. I was in a car accident and now every time I try to move this leg, my body says, no, that's too scary. Something huge and emotional happened mm-hmm. to me. And if I move that leg, I might hurt myself. And it becomes that smoke alarm going off as a protective signal constantly. Or it could be, I like to say, you know, sometimes you stub your toe and at the same time, you know, your dad yelled at you. And so you put them both together in your brain and said, this toe is very sensitive because I have this emotional experience attached to it. And our brains do that. That's how they work. They attach these strong emotional memories to certain things. And so then every time that that toe gets near something, it goes, oh, this might be scary again.
This sounds like therapy. Like,
I mean, it kind of
full
is.
Full-on talk therapy. So is that what a one-day...
Not even close. You could think so. Really cool. Actually, since the last time we talked, I went to the conference of yoga therapists and mm-hmm. there was someone there presenting about how she was trying to work with people in the UK to get a whole program to become yoga therapist for psychologists. And counselors, because it can be. But we use yoga. We always have to use the modalities of yoga. And so what are those? We have things like breathing practices, sensory practices, mindfulness practices, movement practices, mantra, mudra, affirmation kind of things. So we know that the body heals inside the body. Your mind can't necessarily do that. Mm-hmm. So we're actually trying to bypass the signal in your mind that says this is dangerous and get into your body and remind your body that it's safe.
Those things that you just mentioned before, the kind of kit of parts, are those the techniques and the tools mm-hmm. that you use yeah. to heal with yoga therapy?
Yeah, very much. We have to stick within our scope of practice, and that is our scope of practice. But, you know, they're thousands of year old modalities.
Right. So how does one, so when, let's use the example of the coming up one-day workshop retreat. Mm-hmm. How many hours is it?
I believe it's 10.
10?
Yeah.
So 1 day?
I believe so. I might be wrong about that. We're starting kind of early. We get, you know, there's a break in between. It's not like we're spending a full 10 hours. You know, there's lunch, there's mm-hmm. a break, there, you know, but I think I'm there about 10 hours. Yeah.
Well, I mean, 10 hours is how you get the bottom of something.
Exactly.
That's when you're that's your goal. That's what you need. Yeah. And how many, what's the cutoff? How many people do you allow?
You know, that's a question I get a lot because I like to work in smaller groups. Mm-hmm. You know, I could, you know, be out in like, you know, 50 people in a room, but I really like working very intimately. So most of the time it's 10-ish, maybe 15.
Okay. Yeah. Because honestly, I mean, just what you're talking about is it sounds like one-on-one work.
It can be.
Unless you have these self-realizing people that mm-hmm. can go into these... I'll speak for myself. I find different opportunities to learn about myself and they come out at the strangest times. Before we got mm. on air, we were talking about, I had a facial and I had this whole new depth of like maternal baseline is what I'll call my lesson that time. And I did it all alone, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't talk to the practitioner about it at all. maybe a little bit, but just all of this work kind of happened, and it's kind of how I move and shift along, or in these like epiphanies of like, clarity, everything opens up to me. Mm. And is that how everybody would expect to receive it? And is that what one should expect when going to a yoga retreat, a yoga therapy retreat for like a 10-hour day? I mean, this.
I love that. Yeah, because you're referring to the idea that yoga will always see us as whole and complete at our baseline. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a pathway of putting something on top of, it's a pathway of peeling layers off. And so the only person that can do that is you. So my favorite thing, the thing I love so much about yoga, is it's so empowering. It says, you have everything you need. Let me remind you. So what you did in your cool facial is you remembered that feeling of safety and love and the things about who you are. Mm-hmm. And does it take all of us, you know, lifetimes? You know, my teacher says 50-year plan to even touch the surface of that. Yes. But you don't have to be self-realized. I love, in the clinic that I work in, and it's a physical therapy clinic, but I don't work there as a physical therapist, but sometimes they'll call me in. And so it'll be someone I just met. And I'll invite them to just, you know, lay on their back and just move into like a deeper breathing practice. And in that moment, they've just met me. They don't even know what I do or have done any yoga maybe. And they can tune back into their breath. Mm-hmm. And they can tune back into who they are and come up going, oh, that's different. So I'm not saying you need to breathe like this or you need to do this differently. I just say, let's lay down and remember. That's yoga therapy. So in a huge class or in a small class or in one-on-one, it's between you and you remembering, and I'm just giving you cues and guidance and setting a sacred space to do that in.
You know, one of the things I'd like to, as a service to you and to the listeners, is like how different the word yoga has been diluted with the mass market. And some people, they hear the word yoga and they think of Targets, you know, thick foam mats and like, you know, like a yoga ball and, you know, yoga shorts. And but when you say yoga, it's like a whole, I'm assuming, and I think I'm right, that when you're mentioning it, it's a totality of mm-hmm. of all of these things that are that you believe, and I think I tend to believe as well, is that there's medicine in these thoughts. Mm-hmm. There's medicine in these, as a lot of us know, the movement of it. But there's these belief systems. There's like a full. Is yoga a? Yoga's not considered a religion.
No, not at all.
Okay, but it has a structure like it.
It can.
I mean, only in that you're not paying to. I guess you are. Some people are paying to a practitioner. I guess some people will pay to go to a practitioner for you. But there's not this one pinnacle of, oh, I guess there's a guru, right?
That's totally misconstrued too.
Is it? Yeah, I guess I guess I don't really like the religious structure, but I respect the structure, the codification, mm-hmm. and all of the lessons that they've been able to put together over time and share. Mm-hmm. And I love that structure. I don't like the religious structure because that absoluteness turns in, always seems to turn into corruption.
Yeah.
But we don't have to get into that.
I think what you're speaking of, the words you might be trying to say, is there's a lineage. And so all of yoga has a specific lineage. And and some of the biggest tools we can give ourselves are that from that lineage. So, for example, I love to guide people to my teacher because the wisdom I'm expounding is always from my teachers, and I honor them, and any mistakes are mine in translating what they've given. So, specifically, Indu Arora in her lineage, she will talk very often about yoga is a work in, not a work out. Mm-hmm. And that if we're not doing yoga, we're doing bhoga, we're just having fun, that's okay. But realize that yoga comes, you know, maybe just for a couple seconds in every, you know, hour that you're dedicating to something, that mostly you're just dabbling and having fun, that what you're looking for is the yoga. And that's the lineage that says, I tried this, I worked really hard at this, this is what worked. And we pass it down, and we pass it down, and we pass it down. And so we don't say this is the way ever. And mm-hmm. especially in my kind of paradigm or in my philosophy, there is no right way to do any of it. It's just, this worked for me, I'm going to show you this, and if it works for you, fantastic. And maybe every once in a while you'll get to do yoga.
And when you say yoga, you mean?
We would say a union with self, a remembrance of self, a remembrance of our wholeness and oneness.
So that's what. So I guess that's what I was trying to get to, is that yeah. when you say that, my spirit of the idea of this show would be to understand what you mean by yoga. Mm-hmm. When you say, when Kristen says yoga therapy, that it is, it's different from what we're right. thinking about yoga classes. Join a yoga yeah. school so you can go, you know, yeah. unlimited times a month. It's not that mm-hmm. yoga.
Although, I will always say there's no right or wrong. If that's working for you, do mm-hmm. that. And I definitely had my time of like, I love hot power and I want to, you know, get stronger and I want to train my body. And I had times of, I just want restorative and, you know, so we have our phases. And, but I would say that when I talk about yoga, it's not that cultural appropriation that you're talking about, but it's this, it should be sustainable throughout a lifetime. And it's mm-hmm. going to shift and that's going to change. And what's working for me now is going to change. But are you staying on this path of curiosity about yourself? That's the practice of yoga. And sometimes mm. you'll find it definitely on your mat, drenched in sweat. I definitely have. I've taken some really amazing classes and been fully drenched in sweat and went, well, that's amazing. And sometimes you're going to find it laying on your back in meditation.
Mm. Yoga for me, the first time I ever did it was in Nicaragua, in this cool space. I wasn't really wanting to do it, but it was such a cool location. And like one of my, I think my best friend at the time, he's like, let's do yoga. And I just had nothing in me to say no. Mm. Like this looks like the perfect place to say yes. Mm. And I went. And so that practice for me, that was kind of my path to learning more and more and more and more. Mm. And anyway, I just want to share that, but I want to, I'm going to point out that we have 20 minutes, then we do a break, then 20 minutes, then we do a break, and then 20 minutes and the show's over. And I wanted to ask you to lead something that we might find in one of your practices, mm-hmm. The second 20 minutes. So after the break, after our 4:20 break, we will come back and you can lead us into something. I don't know what it is. You can make it up then. But I'm also going to give out the number. If anyone wants to, I'll give it out again later. If anyone wants to call in and ask a question.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Okay. And that number is 509-709-747-3807. Again, 509-747-3807. You guys can... my friend couldn't possibly be calling because I just it's calling on my personal phone. But yes, call in if you have any questions, anything about questions about yoga, mm-hmm. how to talk to her, how to join her classes, so on. So we got 2 minutes until we break. So do you have an idea of what you might want to lead us through?
I wanted to lead you through something that you know, you didn't need to pull over if you were driving, or you didn't need to stop what you're doing. I listen to a lot. If I'm listening to podcasts or radio, I'm doing it while I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. So something that you could just be present with yourself, present with your breath. So thinking mindfulness, but going in a little deeper. And I think I've mentioned curiosity, which is, you know, this jumping off point of being curious. So I'm hoping to lead you in to that a little bit more, and maybe peel off some layers into wholeness just a little bit there. Yeah, because it always starts with that. I had mentioned to you when we were starting that I've been really contemplating this word purna or purnatva in Sanskrit. And this is this fullness. And not just like, you know, not just a Thanksgiving meal fullness, but this fullness of life and social life and food and happiness and joy and gratitude and being able to feel for the fullness that's already there, I think is something that we're always seeking, but we tend to seek outside of ourselves for it instead of inside ourselves for it. So hoping we can feel into that just a little bit more.
Cool. I'm dying to see how you do it. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you wish you could hear real conversations about how our little corner of the Pacific Northwest is making a big splash in our world? Do you enjoy hearing inspiring stories from lesser-known corners of our community, or exploring ideas about how we all can play a role in shaping our reality and creating connections? Or do you just want to take a deeper dive into stories you hear about on the news? Well, if any of those are the case, So Did You Hear is the show for you. I'm Federica Brandy, and I'm bringing you a wide-angle view on our corner of the world with an original talk show featuring conversations with shakers, movers, and shapers who enrich our community on Friday afternoons. Each week, you will hear from guests representing Spokane's diverse social and cultural scene, with stories from activists, social justice organizations, educators, immigrants, artists, and more. You can tune into So Did You Hear right here on KYRS Fridays at 3 p.m., Come hang out and we'll get you caught up on all the goods. Have questions or ideas you want to share? Email us at sodidyouhear@kyrs.org.
Join me, Robert Sevilla, for Creative Mindset, Thursdays at 4. In that hour, I'll be talking to locals that have the creative mindset. Tune in to find out more about creative minds around you.
Listen to the Latin Lounge every Monday 6 to 8 p.m. on KYRS-FM, Medical Lake, Spokane. Heard on 88.1, also heard on 92.3.
And we're back. Okay, so this is Creative Mindset with Robert Sevilla. In studio, we have Kristen, say her last name.
Gusky.
And she is a yoga therapist. It's a little different. And for an example of how different it is, she's going to kind of lead us through a practice, a thought.
Let's call it a practice.
So I'm handing it over to you. You've got 20 minutes of 4:40.
So I think we'll start this practice by remembering that when we're being mindful or when we're quotation marks meditating, that really all it is being a little more present. So wherever you are and whatever you're doing, just ask yourself if you're present. And almost always the answer is, I could be more present. So we're always starting with that curiosity of, am I here? And to call yourself back from wherever you might be, or you might have sent your energy to the future, you might have sent your energy to the past. Just call yourself back. And as you call yourself back, you might notice that you're breathing. And so our true nature is the fullness of our breath. Our true nature when we came into this world was to breathe, and we didn't have to earn a single one of those breaths. So there we were whole and complete the moment we arrived, and we were present. And so as you notice that you're breathing, it brings you back to, I am present here on this earth, at this moment, this time. And if your eyes are open, you can look down and see what your hands are doing, and that your hands are in service to this breath because you're still breathing. You might notice what's around you and notice that your eyes are in service to this breath, interpreting, taking in that information. Even the sound of my voice or anything else you're hearing, your ears are drawing that in, and your breath is there in service to help you filter out, decide what's worth your energy, your time. And if you feel like you're in a place where you could soften your gaze, you can do that, but it's not necessary. You're just present with your breath. And in that presence, maybe you make your breath just a little bit longer and get curious. Can I do that? Can I make my breath just a little bit longer? Each inhalation, each exhalation, just a little bit longer. And you might notice when you're breathing, and where you're breathing, and how you're breathing. Just being really curious about your presence here in the world. And if that breath is just a little bit longer, then you might be able to make your next breath just a little bit smoother. So that each breath is a little bit longer and a little bit smoother. And again, you're just really curious. How is this breath serving me? Is there a fullness? Is there an openness? Is there a curiosity? And how am I here? And if that breath can be long and smooth, then maybe this next one can be softer. So then maybe every breath is a little bit longer and a little bit smoother and a little bit softer. And as you do that, you might notice that more and more of your energy and your presence is here with you in your breath. And again, your breath is already completing its fullness and its release. So in fact, you're not even breathing, you're being breathed. You're receiving every breath that chooses to be with you at this moment. And you're releasing it, letting it go, knowing, trusting that there will be another moment. And so it might just be possible that in this very moment, you might feel safe. And so you just ask yourself that question, do I feel safe? Now, a good amount of us might say yes to that, but I'm going to guess there's a couple of you out there that say, no, not really. And so if that's the answer, is there anything that you could do to shift that? Could you change your breath? Could you change the way your body is positioned? Maybe you can change your surroundings. Just a little change, nothing big. And you go back to the presence of your breath and its wholeness, its fullness. Notice that you're receiving. You don't have to put in any effort. There it is. And it's releasing. And just the right amount of breath is coming in. Just the right amount of breath is releasing. And again, serving every part of you, serving your thoughts, serving the emotions you're having right now, serving the movement or non-movement of your body. And so every breath in its wholeness and fullness and service to you. And as you notice that, you might ask again, do I feel safe? Now, if we're in the state of yes, I feel safe, then that allows you to get a little bit curious. So you might be able to scan your body and just notice the parts of your body that feel good. What parts of my body feel good, and accept that fullness of breath, fullness of life. And what parts of myself are resisting that? And that might be your body, but it might also be your thoughts or your emotions. When you encounter resistance, what happens when you're curious? What happens when you move your breath into that resistance and invite it to be part of you? It's okay to have that resistance. It's okay to have sensations of discomfort or pain or struggle. And in its okayness, it is still loved, supported, and in wholeness of your breath. But your breath is here too. And again, check back. Do I feel safe? And there's no right answer. It's just always curiosity. If the answer is yes, you can continue to expand out your awareness, maybe into places that are more uncomfortable, more resistant. And if the answer is no, then is there anything small that you could do here? Shift in your breath, shift in your body, even a shift in your thoughts. Any small thing you could do to bring that resistance into the whole or to soften it. So you might imagine that these sensations come up are simply that signal to pay attention, to notice. And so you're noticing that you're noticing. And as you notice, it gives that part of yourself permission to be present with you, to be whole with you, to be here with you. It gives that part of you permission to be sustained with the wholeness and fullness of your breath. And there it is again, your breath. And notice when you're breathing, where you're breathing, how you're breathing. And as you continue to notice, continue to be curious about the sensations that are coming up. All sensations are whole and full and part of your presence on the earth. They're all okay. What happens if this part of you that's been hurting, this part of you that's felt resistant, receives more love in every breath? If you took that long, smooth, soft breath and poured love into that part of yourself and said, "You were born with me too." And so that loving breath, your essential nature, and that love itself, the wholeness, the purnatva that we seek. And so maybe for a moment, you might wonder, am I that which I've been seeking. And check back with your breath. Notice any answer that rises up. And so I'll notice that often something does rise up. And it might be something that you wanted to tell yourself, or that hurt part of yourself might want to say. Or maybe it's something that you've been telling yourself but you don't believe. And so this is where I ask your breath to become a mantra. And you can do a nice silent one in your head. Or you might mouth the words so that your tongue touches the roof of your mouth, striking a really important signal in your brain that says, I'm here, I'm present. My mantra just about every morning is, I am whole and complete. I am whole and complete. And then when something comes up that resists that, I get to be really curious and breathe. Breathe into it, move into it, and welcome it in. Maybe something else comes up for you that you'd like to speak to yourself about, this feeling of the wholeness of your breath or the wholeness of your thoughts. And continue to ask yourself if it feels safe. It's really curious how tension will come up, right? Shoulders or eyes or even curling your toes. The tension will come up, that resistance. And we're not trying to push it away. We're trying to welcome it back in. Come back. Be here with me. I'm breathing. I'm living. I'm moving. I'm thinking. I'm feeling. Be with me. Because here, me, I am whole and complete. And just notice what that feels like in your breath. And some of you who might have a strong signal in your body, right, of non-pain or pain sensation, you might specifically speak to that body part, to that part of yourself. And see if you can increase its presence in the wholeness of you. My whole leg or my whole hand. So you welcome it back in with your breath. And you might even move that body part. You might wiggle it or move it gently. And as you move it, you're moving it with breath, reminding it of its wholeness. Because if this breath is whole and present and full and smooth and safe, and this breath is filling your whole body, then it must also be in the wholeness of your body. Maybe you're doing gentle movements, slow movements, but be fully present. And some of you might have pain in your heart, right? That ache or that fear. And as that comes up, do the same thing. Just give it your breath. This too is whole and complete. This too is part of my breath. I am breathing. And my breath is in service. And I am okay. And just ask yourself that. Is that true? Am I okay? And you might notice that as you go back to the awareness of your presence on the earth, your energy, your breath, are you a little bit more here? All of you, are you a little bit more here? Again, whether you're sitting or doing something, whether you're walking, driving, whatever else you're doing, are you here? And if so, you've made progress. You've reclaimed a little bit more of yourself back to here with your breath. And then you'll notice that you're hearing my voice. And you notice that you're seeing things. You might even notice that you're smelling things or tasting things or touching things. So you can come back to the fuller sensations of being here in the world and notice that you're present. Welcome back.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about it.
Subway Sidewalks, People Talk.
Join me, Chris R., for People Talk, a live call-in talk show that gives listeners a chance to share their thoughts, ideas, community issues, and more. Each week, we'll have a topic of discussion to stimulate a conversation among the masses in the greater Spokane area. You'll have to tune in each week to find out. You talk, we talk, people talk. Mondays at 8 p.m. on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio.
KYRS listeners know the importance of investments. Make a wise investment in your company. Invest in KYRS listeners as your customers by becoming a KYRS program sponsor. Call 509-624-7573.
And we're back. Okay, so I'll tell you what I experienced, but tell us what you were...
What was I doing?
Yeah, what were you doing?
So first of all, we talked about how we carry that in our body. And again, whether we're looking into the yoga model that's been around for thousands of years, or we're comparing it to modern neuroscience and how we work, it all says that we carry much more in our body than we do our mind. Our mind is serving our body. So I took you into your body. And all of yoga is embodied. I mean, that's why we do yoga like on a mat, stretching and moving, as we're getting back into our body. Because we tend to live out of our body most of the time.
Yeah, I get that.
So once you are in your body, that's an awareness practice. So it says, I'm going to be aware, and I'm going to be more aware of the sensations that I'm having in my body, what's coming up. And what we tend to do is to separate pain and say, you're not part of me. This is uncomfortable. I don't like it. And therefore, it's not me. I'm going to separate it. And so even we have things, people, you know, come in for PT and they say, this is my bad leg. And as a yoga therapist, they say, there's no such thing. It's your other leg. It's the leg that's having some trouble or it's challenged. So bringing you back into then the presence of your whole body. And the best way to do that is your breath. Because our breath in yoga is very sacred, but also it is the one thing that we can control, but we really have no control over it, is life itself. It's the first thing we do, and it's the last thing we do. So as we go into the wholeness and the completeness of our breath, it reminds us that we came in that way, and we didn't have a bad leg, and we have bad memories. You know, we didn't have all this stuff that we were separating. And then the next step is discernment. So I was asking you about whether or not you felt safe, and to be really curious about what you were feeling rather than immediately just judging it. So we have to take away any kind of judgment, because as soon as there's judgment, our mind's involved. And so in that discernment, then you can decide, hey, is that what I wanted to feel about this? Or is that true about this? Or how is that true about this? And then once we can do that, then we can finally decide what we're going to do, if anything. So, for example, am I going to breathe a little different? Am I going to move a little different? Am I going to talk differently to myself? So those are three steps of, actually, it's called the Pain Care Aware, which is my training with Neil and Lisa Pearson, of awareness, discernment, and then resolution, if we do anything about it. And those three put together in this cycle, we continue to move deeper and deeper into the how we got here. What part of myself is giving those warning signals? And again, your mind can't really do that.
Okay. And is that the format for... That's just the beginning of a process?
Awareness is the most of the beginning of the process. I give you a very short, yes, it's a format for pain care, but mm-hmm. it's not the whole Panchamaya Kosha model, because then we have to dive deeper into, okay, that's how your body's feeling. What about your thoughts? What about your emotions? What about the Vinamaya Kosha, the one that's watching and witnessing what's happening? And so there's deeper processes, but it's very much this surface of, oh, I wasn't fully present. I was taking part of myself and separating it because it didn't feel good.
I'm going to take a moment now to ask you to share how to get a hold of you.
Sure, absolutely.
In case we get through the whole show and forget.
I am Joyful Pose Yoga. You can actually just go. I have a website, joyfulposeyoga.com. I can just give you my personal phone number, because that's how I make personal client meetups, and that's 509-919-8662. Or you can write me at kristen@joyfulpose.com.
Great. And you are practicing out of the mat.
My main home base is the mat in Liberty Lake, yes. But one, I have a strong affinity for teachers. So any teachers out there, I would love to come work with you, specifically working within services to help you bring these kind of things into the classroom, because I think empowered teachers create empowered students. So I love to go into schools, and I also love to come to you. I love to do groups places. I would love to go into, you know, as a certified yoga therapist, you can work with the medical community. You can go into hospitals, and you can go into mental health facilities. And there's someone working in San Quentin, you know, like, that's amazing. Mm. I know. I love what yoga therapists can do. There's someone working in the Ukraine right now in an active war zone. Like, whoa. So, it's not like you come to me only here. It's way bigger.
You know, I'd like to understand more about what those teachers, what those yoga therapists would be doing in different locations, like the prison.
I know, right?
War. So you don't know? Like?
No, I do. So these are part of the people when I went to the yoga therapy conference. They gave presentations.
Tell me about that.
So one of my teachers, Shanti Korkalza, she is a Kundalini lineage teacher, and she's developed from the ground up this program of teaching just civilians or people who, you know, are there in the Ukrainian war zone, teaching them basic yoga therapy stuff and sequences that then they go in and do with people. So basically she says that they like come in off of the front for something like 10 days. And in that 10 days, that's all they have to share some of these tools with them, mm-hmm. to get them into classes and give them some mindfulness and give them some breathing and, you know, some of these other things. And then they go back out. So during that time, she's not personally there. She's trained people, not as yoga therapist, but how to have these tools to share. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. And because we've only ever seen what's going on with PTSD, we've never actually seen what happens when we're actively in an intervention in the middle of the trauma being created. We're always working with the trauma afterward.
Right.
So fascinating work. This is all research-based stuff, because that's what yoga therapy is, you know, again, like a doctorate. So she's doing this major amount of research of what does this look like and how does it help? And can we design more programs like this for more people who are actively in trauma versus afterward?
What would that look like? Like, what would the, let's just call it like best case scenario of active trauma applying these techniques? Mm. Or what might that look like?
What it might look like, what I know is that the neuroscience is that we have to go through it, and that trauma happens because we get stuck. And we get stuck for some sort of reason. So again, you know, like you stub your toe and then like something else happens, big and emotional, and you attach the two together and you never clear it. Mm. Best metaphor I have is, you know, we've got I like to think of these guys in a like a little filing room in your brain, and they keep getting these files in, and most of the time they can sort them and put them away. But when they're attached to something big, they just sit there in a pile. And they never right. get processed. So we have to get those filed away. Otherwise, they become what we call trauma. And that can be anything. So we have kind of a weird name for trauma. So it's helping them to go through it, process it, and get it tucked away. And we can't do that unless we feel safe. Like, we cannot do that unless we feel safe. So that metaphor would be, you know, if anybody's done the Hiawatha Trail and you're in the middle of one of those tunnels, those 3-mile tunnels, and you just decide to sit down and don't keep going because it's too dark, too cold, too scary.
Is that tunnel 3 miles?
One of them is, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Could be making this up.
Maybe,
so
maybe it's a mile, but it's, it feels that way. It's a long one. You're waiting to see the end of the...
Everybody's like, but it feels that way. It feels like 10. Yeah. So imagine if you just sat down and went, I can't. And that's trauma. And so giving you the tools that someone picks up your hand and says, come with me. I've got a light on my head, or one step at a time, or just follow your breath. And so if we know those tools before we're in that situation, and this is me, this is how yoga saved my life just over 25 plus years of practice, is being in one of those situations and going, oh, I know how to breathe. I know how to feel this and to know it's not okay right now, and that's okay. I know how to self-care in some sort of way. And sometimes you mess up and it's not working, and that's okay. I've definitely had those moments. But slowly and steadily, I've been able to walk myself through more tunnels than not. And to get to the other side and go, oh, that was really hard. But next time I'm in a tunnel, I'm not going to stop.
Right.
I have tools.
Yeah, now it makes sense. Thanks for that. Because then you can, understanding that first, I guess, being present enough to go, you're in a war zone. So forgive yourself for the big feelings that you're going to feel and be aware that whatever's going to happen. So being just that mindfulness of that you're, what situation you're in, the, what you're going to probably witness in today or now, and then maybe feeling what could be or that is traumatic, and then how to possibly stay out of that loop that you were talking about that that gets us into that PTSD loop.
And I want to bring up, because it might sound, again, like psychotherapy, but we know your body has to process it, not just your mind. So therefore, we have... so what do we do with babies when they're... you know, crying and desperate and I feel unsafe, right? They only have one signal. Something's wrong, right? We pat them. We rock them. We hum to them or sing to them.
We hold them.
And we hold them.
Yeah.
And so these are all ways in which we're helping their body process. And we actually know that. We know that the caregiver regulates the baby. Yeah. So... we're learning to self-regulate, not just through thought, but can I chant a mantra? Can I move my body? Can I breathe? Can I tap? Right? Can I rock? Can I move, do an asana practice and move my body? There's big breathing movements we can do. So how do I move this?
Okay, so maybe it was, you would think it'd be just as easy talking about pain, but pain was a little bit hard for me to understand how this practice, this yoga therapy works within it, but now talking about the front line, now it's the same kind of thing as a structure of pain.
Yes.
And feeling the pain coming, or knowing the pain is there, or always assuming the pain is there and avoiding the pain. If I do this, the pain comes. If I
want to clarify, not avoiding, but the smoke alarm is going off. What am I doing? Right. Am I running around freaking out, or am I calmly going, oh, looks like the oven's running again and it always, the smoke always sets off the smoke alarm, and then calmly trying to work through it and take action that shifts the signal. They're not avoiding it. It's there. It's going to happen. What am I doing?
Okay, so this is the final 2 minutes. What should we leave the listeners besides how to get a hold of you? Don't have time for another call, but you're welcome. I'm going to make a post and I'll include some links. You can see those on the show notes on the Facebook and Instagram.
And on my Facebook and Instagram
and on
too.
Your phone. So I'm going to
totally
put the,
invite you onto that.
Yeah, and I'm going to take some pictures so you'll know what she looks like. And let's see. Yeah, so you'll be able to contact however, because you obviously do privates.
Oh, yeah. I do privates. I do group. I do workshops. I love to do workshops. We do fascia rolling. We do, I'll just focus on your shoulders and we'll do biomechanics. I'm strongly biomechanics trained, but then we'll go beyond that and say, but how did we get here? It's not just the biomechanics, what happened? Basically, if you name the way that yoga therapy can come in and serve, we can do, there's corporate, teams that are going through stressful situations and how to downregulate that or, all sorts of, I love kids, love working with kids. Yeah.
You came over, had a little get together at my house. You're definitely, you have a kid vibe. Maybe because you're small. They probably think you're a kid.
Exactly. I mean, I look like a 13-year-old, so that's fair.
All right. Well, that was it for today. Again, thank you for coming in, sharing that. That was awesome. We'll have a play. We'll have this archived, so we'll be able to listen to it back. Hopefully you can
share it
with some of your people.
Please do.
But that's a show. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Thanks.
Institutional racism and government that range from aloof to insane. But lo, from that darkness, a new People's Party arose, created by the populist movement of farm and factory mad as hellers. They streamed into Omaha to hammer out the most progressive platform in U.S. history, rejecting corporate supremacy, demanding direct democracy. This is Jim Hightower saying that platform reshaped America's political agenda, making reforms of the progressive era and New Deal possible. As one senator said, it was the start of robber baron wealth flowing, quote, to all the people from whom it was originally taken. And that's what Woody Guthrie meant by politics. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
88.1 and 92.3 FM, KYRS, Medical Lake, Spokane.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
This is Democracy Now!
Hell is breaking loose in Lebanon. An all-out war must be avoided at all costs. It would surely be an all-out catastrophe. The people of Lebanon, as well as the people of Israel and the people of the world, cannot afford Lebanon to become another Gaza.
Israel's continuing to bombard Lebanon after rejecting an international call for a 21-day ceasefire. We'll go to Beirut for the latest. Then, in a major expose, ProPublica reveals the Biden administration decided to keep arming Israel even after USAID and the State Department's Refugees Bureau concluded Israel was deliberately blocking humanitarian aid to Gaza.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken rejected the findings from his foremost experts on humanitarian assistance. They had found that the Israelis had deliberately blocked shipments of medicine and food into Gaza. Antony Blinken told Congress the opposite was true so that arms could continue flowing into Israel.
But first to the blockbuster news here in New York City. Mayor Eric Adams has been indicted on federal charges. Agents have raided his residence at Gracie Mansion early this morning. We'll speak to a reporter and the first New York City council member to call for his resignation a week ago. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's rejected a possible ceasefire as it continues its assault on Lebanon. The U.S., France, Canada, Australia, Japan, Qatar, the UAE, and Saudi Arabia have called for a 21-day ceasefire as the death toll in Lebanon tops 620 people, at least 72 of those killed Wednesday. Despite resounding international warnings against escalating attacks, Israel's doubling down, with its military chief, Herzi Halevi, telling troops on the front line Wednesday, "You hear the jets overhead. We have been striking all day. This is both to prepare the ground for your possible entry and to continue degrading Hezbollah," unquote. 500,000 people in Lebanon are now believed to be displaced. Hospitals are overrun with victims of Israeli attacks. This is Dr. Adel.